We're so glad you decided to listen to our program today. Our intent is to inform you and to encourage you. This is Are You Listening? With Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. In a busy world with lots of distractions, we need to pay closer attention to God. Are you listening to God's Word today? Here's Jeff.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, those wonderful words from Habakkuk 3 and verse 18. We're going to talk about the salvation of God today. But first, a thank you to our J-Webb. We really appreciate Jay and his good words throughout our broadcast. He's going to come back a little later and share with you a free Bible tract we'd love to send you, a free Bible study course that is available, and he's going to tell you a little bit about our YouTube channel. You'll hear that all throughout the broadcast today from the International Gospel Hour. We appreciate you taking time to join us in our studies, and we're grateful for the comments we receive and the request for free material. Here at International Gospel Hour, we're not going to ask for your money with these broadcasts. Absolutely not. We want to share with you everything absolutely free and to help you in your study of the Word of God. In previous broadcasts of the International Gospel Hour, we have looked at studies of the salvation of God. Throughout our studies, we've noted things of necessity concerning God's salvation of man, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. We've talked about His grace and our faith and our repentance. And we've noted some things that the salvation of God is not. Dear friend, it is not based on the sinner's prayer, nor is it based on faith only or faith alone. It is not found in just any church nor denomination, and it's not based on any kind of baptism. Through our careful and biblical discussions, dear friends, it is our plea to see God's salvation for man and how one should respond therein. And today we wish to discuss the subject of baptism. When one considers the salvation of God, one must discuss baptism into Christ. And we will do so by taking the Bible, as we do in all of our broadcasts, for our answers and our authority. And with that said, dear friends, you know, the Bible is always right. As a matter of fact, let's think on that with a free tract we would like to mail to you. And here is our J-Webb with more details. Then we will return with our study of the salvation of God, baptism.
Friends, we can look at this world, and no doubt something is wrong. But did you know the Bible is right? We have a special free booklet we'd like to send you called Something is Wrong, But the Bible is Right. It is an exceptional study that clears away a lot of the confusion in the religious world and lets us see that the Bible is always right. Just call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, Bible Tract. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988. And please leave your name, address, and just say, Bible Tract. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Bible Tract in the message box. Another free offer of study from your friends here at International Gospel Hour. Now, back to our study.
What does Jesus say about baptism? Well, first of all, we understand that Jesus commanded baptism. Before he ascended into heaven with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18, he said, "All power is given unto me in both heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." In Mark 16 and verse 16, Mark's account of the Great Commission, it's quite simple. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. There is no question that baptism is commanded of Christ, as he carries forth the eternal purpose of the Father, as we note in Ephesians 3:10-12, and of course the words and the authority that the Father had given him. We note that from John 17:8 and John 12:48. So, dear friends, if we are to follow the teachings of Christ, we will accept what he commands. That's John 14:15, and again, John 15:14. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5:9, speaking of Christ, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So we know that the things that are penned in the Bible are the commandments of the Lord. Paul affirmed this in 1 Corinthians 14:37. And as well through the teaching of the apostles in Acts 2:38-42. As we see these things about baptism penned clearly, we see the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he says about baptism. Jesus commanded it, and we must commit to it. But with that being said, dear friends, what is the mode of baptism? Now, there are those that immerse, some even sprinkle or even pour water on a person. But again, what does the Bible say? What is the authority therein? Well, the word in the original language, the Greek word baptizo, means immersion or a submersion with a rising up. In Matthew 3:16, we see that Jesus and John went down into the water, and John baptized or immersed Christ. Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, Acts 8:38-39. It is of interest to see from such passages as Romans 6:1-6, and Colossians 2:12, how we are buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, or in Colossians 2:12, raised by the operation of God. Dear friends, when we find the emphasis in baptism on a burial and to be raised up, would this not eliminate sprinkling or pouring as a mode of baptism? According to the Bible, dear friends, the mode of baptism as commanded today is an immersion in water. Now, with that being said, sometimes this next question comes up. What is the one baptism in Ephesians 4:5? You know, the New Testament mentions 6 baptisms. But when we get to Ephesians 4:5, in the latter part of the New Testament, Paul says there is one baptism. Well, if the New Testament mentions 6 baptisms, which one of the 6 is the one baptism for today? Number 1, let's consider the baptism of John the Baptist. We see this in Matthew 3:7, Mark 1:4, Luke 3:3, mentioned in Matthew 21:25. So the early pages of the gospel accounts mentions the work of John the Baptist. And in Acts 19:1-4, here is an interesting point. The one baptism is not the baptism of John the Baptist. The Ephesian brethren had already been through that in Acts 19:1-4. They were baptized unto John's baptism. But Paul taught them correctly that John was one that would be the forerunner of Christ, and that we should be baptized into Christ. When they heard that, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. So the one baptism in Ephesians 4:5 is not the baptism of John the Baptist. It served its purpose and it served its time and brought one to Christ. Number 2, is the one baptism the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism was Christ himself. We note that from Matthew 3 and verse 11. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, dear friends, was a promise and not a command. We note that from Acts 1 verses 4 and 5 and Acts 1 and verse 26. And it was a baptism that came upon the apostles to whom it was promised. We see that from Acts chapter 1. We go into Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. We see the words of Jesus to the apostles in John 16 and verse 13 and John 14 and verse 26. I find it interesting to refer to the late F.F. Bruce, who was an English scholar, in his writing the Epistle to the Ephesians, or his commentary rather, the Epistle to the Ephesians, page 80. He said, if one baptism here had meant spirit baptism to the exclusion of water baptism, it would have been associated with one spirit and not with one Lord. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is it the one baptism in Ephesians 4 and verse 5? Dear friends, the answer is a definitive no. What about the baptism of fire? Here's a third one. Jesus in Matthew 3, 11 and 12, it is referred to Jesus, rather, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Dear friends, this baptism is referring to the end of time, to when he will purge his floor, gather his wheat, burn up the chaff. And this is to the end of time. This was not applicable to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. The fourth baptism the New Testament mentions is the baptism of suffering. This is from Mark 10, 38 and 39. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall you be baptized. Dear friends, this is referring to Christ and the apostles in a conversation. This is the baptism of suffering that Jesus said, this is what I will endure, and you will do so as well. We could read that entire text and see that that is only applicable to Christ and the apostles. It's not applicable to those brethren in Ephesus. What is the one baptism in Ephesians 4 and verse 5? Well, the New Testament again mentioned six baptisms. Here's the fifth one, baptized unto Moses. Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. He is teaching to the church at Corinth about what God has done for his people and what he will do for them when he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, dear friends, we can read that context and see that that was applicable to Israel in the Old Testament. It wasn't applicable to the brethren at Ephesus. What is the one baptism in Ephesians 4 and verse 5? We come to the sixth one, and that is baptism commanded by Christ after his resurrection. This is the one baptism. Again, dear friends, we know it's not John the Baptist's baptism, for the Ephesian brethren corrected that. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was a promise and not a command. It wasn't the baptism of fire, which is yet to happen. It wasn't the baptism of suffering, as that applied to Christ and the apostles, and nor were they baptized unto Moses, because that was for Israel. How did those Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 4 and verse 5 understand the one baptism? How they understood it is how we should understand it. And it is baptism commanded by Christ after his resurrection. Again, as we note, by the command of Christ, Matthew 28 and verse 19. And these Ephesian brethren were baptized into the name of Christ, Acts 19, verse 5. Someone says, well, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. No, dear friends. We find where Paul laid his hands on them in Acts 19 and verse 6 for them to receive the Spirit so they could in turn affirm the Word of God and could speak as God directed them. But they were baptized as a burial in Christ. We've noticed already that baptism, the mode thereof, is a burial, which excludes all other modes of baptism. We know that from Romans 6 and verse 4. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be made to walk in newness of life. I love to consider Colossians 2 and verse 12, to how the Scripture simply teaches that we are buried with him in baptism. And we are buried with him, and we are risen through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Dear friends, so many people throughout the religious world say, well, baptism is a work. We will affirm that baptism is a work of God and not a work of man. It's a baptism that is a work of God. God does the cleansing, and we note it is a burial in water. The eunuch showed us that in Acts 8 and verse 38, and even those in the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 47. The one baptism will save one based upon one's faith. Again, we note that from Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And it's interesting to find Peter, who was there on the day of Pentecost, commanding people to be baptized, that in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, as he speaks of the ark and its separation from the world, that the like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. In light of 1 Peter 3:21, can one have a good conscience without being baptized? Would be very hard to do. The one baptism washes away our sins. That's affirmed in Acts 22 and verse 16 as the Apostle Paul was telling of his conversion. And he said that Ananias came to him and said, Saul, why do you tarry? Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The one baptism adds one to the church of which Christ died. We note that from Acts 2, verses 38 through 47. Verse 47 especially, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were not voted into the church in the book of Acts. When they were baptized into Christ, based upon their faith, their repentance, and their confession of faith in Christ, when they were baptized, they were raised to walk in a newness of life and were added to his church. And dear friends, do you know today, you can be added to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one baptism puts on Christ. Allow Galatians 3:27 to speak. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Dear friends, can one put on Christ before one is baptized? Not according to the Bible. Isn't it a puzzling thing that there are many that teach that we are saved, yet we're baptized later, so according to that teaching, we are saved before we put on Christ? Dear friends, I would avoid that teaching in light of Scripture. For the one baptism will place one into Christ. Dear friends, Romans 6, 4 through 6 affirms that we are baptized into Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, as we noted, we are baptized into Christ. Dear friends, do you know you can't believe yourself into Christ You can't repent yourself into Christ. You can't confess yourself into Christ. Only baptism will place one in Christ. We're simply looking at what the Bible says, dear friends. And the one baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, is this phrase, for remission of sins, because of, meaning this, because my sins were remitted, I was baptized. In other words, I was saved before baptism. Dear friends, we submit to you that the phrase does not mean because of. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, when Jesus, on the night before his death, took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the covenant," or of the New Testament, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." When would remission of sins be available? When Jesus shed his blood. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Remission of sins could not come until Christ shed his blood. The same phrase, remission of sins, in Matthew 26:28, is the same phrase in Acts 2 and verse 38. It takes the repentance and the baptism of one, based upon their faith, for remission of sins. Yes, my friends, baptism is essential for one's salvation. And while we readily acknowledge that the religious world in general disagrees, the Bible agrees within, and that is what matters, dear friends, and that is where we will stand through our broadcast of International Gospel Hour. And for those that are supportive of our work, we want you to know wherein we stand. And it's not where we stand, it is where we stand, and that is upon the Word of God. Dear friends, I want to pause here because you may be listening to this and you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I need to give some thought to this. I need to look at this. Dear friends, that's why we encourage people to study the Bible on their own, to search the Scriptures just like they did in the city of Berea. The Bible says in Acts 17, 10 and 11 that they were more noble or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things are so. When you join us in our studies here from the International Gospel Hour, you have a ready mind. You say, "I want to know some things. I want to learn." Well, dear friends, now we allow the opportunity to search those Scriptures absolutely free with a Bible study course by mail. Here's our J-Web with all the details. Then we'll come back and we'll wrap up our broadcast.
Your friends at the International Gospel Hour are offering absolutely free a Bible study course by mail. You may study in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. Feel free to give it a try. Please call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, "Home study." That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and please leave your name, address, and just say, "Home study." You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type "home study" in the message box. We'll send it right away. Thank you for your interest in the things of God. And now...
So, dear friends, let's ask this question from Acts 19:3. This was asked to the Ephesian brethren, "Into what then were you baptized?" Of course, when they said John's baptism, Paul then instructed them of the baptism of Christ. They examined and found themselves incorrect in their salvation. They responded to the baptism of Christ. Could this broadcast and our study together prompt you to examine your baptism? Dear friend, have you been saved? And if so, then how were you saved? Were you saved with a prayer, then baptized later? Or were you saved by prayer? Write down when you were saved, and then beside it, write down when you were baptized. If you've been baptized, how were you baptized? Were you immersed? How long after you were saved were you baptized? And if you look and you see your saved date different from your date of your baptism, then, dear friends, like the Ephesians, you need to consider to be baptized again and to be baptized correctly. What was the name of the church wherein this happened? Dear friends, let's think on these things, and we will help you further with questions concerning this matter. A quick pause, then we're going to wrap up our program. Here's our J. Webb.
For many years, you've heard us over the air and online, and now we're excited to announce you can see the International Gospel Hour program on our YouTube channel. A new episode is uploaded weekly, and feel free to view our other offerings as well. It is free to subscribe to the International Gospel Hour on YouTube. Again, please take some time to watch the International Gospel Hour on our YouTube channel. And be sure to click the subscribe button while you're there. It's free.
And please join me again on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and dear friends, keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.